Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading part three of the story submitted by Jarrett. This is entitled Clean Slate. I hope you've been enjoying this series so far, and if you are, let me know. And a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. Let's get started. Julie cursed under her breath as she slipped the pen into the left cassette spool and turned. The shiny ball of black tape rolled back ever so slowly. This was going to take forever, and there wasn't any guarantee that the tape would even play. Still, she pressed on, turn after turn as the tedious work tempered her nerves. Finally, after 10 minutes, she got all of the tape respooled in the shell. She strolled over to her own portable cassette recorder that she never used since she wasn't a legit, big-time reporter, and pressed play. To her delight, the tape started playing. She sat down and listened.
You're not recording me, right? No, this is a strictly off the books. Good. All right, let's start with your name and where you work. Okay. My name is Michael Baker, and I am a mathematics teacher at Vincent Hill Middle School, 6 years in the classroom. And why did you agree to speak with me? When my tenure was revoked for questioning CAD to my administrative team. CAD would be the Child Advancement Division? Yes, that's correct. What is CAD, exactly? I'm not sure. I don't know exactly, but from what I do know, it's bad. Bad enough I opted my classroom out of it. Opted out? How does one do that? I told my principal that I refused to take part in an initiative that supports the removal of poor and mentally challenged children. How did they take that?
Michael scoffed.
How do you think? They threatened me? My family? But couldn't fire me, so they did the next best thing. Revoked your tenure. Bingo. And my union dropped me like a hot potato. So, can I ask you what CAD changed? What procedures were you expected to follow in your classroom? A classroom that enforced CAD, I mean. So, let's say you're a student in my class. All right. Let's say you can't speak English. Okay. So now, as a teacher, I can recommend you to CAD to be reassigned based on the fact you can't speak the native language. So, are you supposed to point out these kids? Yeah. You see, CAD is a unit of, quote, trained professionals that show up and conduct audits. I only lost one student to CAD. I asked about it when he never showed up to class again, but there's no re-entry forms. No calls to parents. They're just pulled. Pulled by who? Some liaison or doctor or something. They don't use district channels because that would leave a paper trail. They show up, take the kid, leave nothing. No debrief, no transfer record, just a file that goes missing next week. You ever see one of the forms? Yeah, a big bundle slipped into my inbox in my office by mistake. One of the forms was 6B Tier 3 reassignment. It said the kid had environmental displacement and cognitive misalignment, whatever that means. That's not a real diagnosis. No kidding. And at the bottom was a Bradley Institute stamp. Under that was in processing department with an address in Maryland. Around the D.C. area. That's not even local. That's federal. So CAD is a federal program? I don't know if it's an official Washington thing. I mean, even if it was, you'd never know for sure, but it's protected like it is. This CAD program started in 1948, and you're not supposed to know it exists. At least not in this sense. Parents are given this clean, sanitized version of it, but guess what? You won't find it on the official district charter. I checked. The funding leapfrogs the school district and comes down through Title I reallocation. You know that off the top of your head? I made the mistake of reading the Q4 allocation brief. I still have a bunch of papers if you want them. Yes, please.
There was some rustling on the tape as papers were handed from Michael to Henry.
That pile you're holding there was enough to scare me off. It referenced something called the Bradley Stratification Model. It said schools could reroute funds if a student's behavioral standards fell below district thresholds. But we both know it's not the district dictating anything. What do these thresholds entail, exactly? Well, from what I gather, it means if a kid's too poor, too slow, too behind, grade level, or shows some kind of physical or mental impairment, they get flagged for Tier 3 reassignment. Once they leave the school premises, they automatically become Tier 4 and then they vanish. Vanish. Do you see them again? No, never. It's like these kids vanish off the face of the earth. What about the parents? What you're laying out is government-sanctioned kidnapping. Surely they'll go to the police and file charges.
Baker paused, cleared his throat, then whispered.
I thought that too. But listen, whoever this group is, the police is in on it. Look, I'm not supposed to know this because these dots weren't meant to be connected, but I was skimming the newspaper the other day, right? And I swear to God, one of the kids who was reassigned from our school, her parents had died in a house fire just a day or two later. Get out. I swear to God, these people, whoever they are, they're organized, well-funded, and not about to divulge anything out of the goodness of their hearts. They made that fire look like an accident. I mean, hell, they had the fire marshal paid off. Told the paper it was a faulty electrical wiring that caused the fire. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever heard of a fire that started in a 3-year-old house from faulty wires? No, me neither.
There was a long, solemn, uncomfortable silence between the two men. Then Henry broke it by asking,
"With these forms, you said there's no parental consent? Well, hold on a second. See, there's two different programs, but they're lumped together. Two different programs. What do you mean? Check that form I handed you. See down by the initials? Yeah. Those are the initials of students set for Tier 3. There's a V next to the initials for voluntary, and a R for reassignment. The distinction being what, exactly? Reassignment is the term used for kids that get forcibly taken out of the school. And what? Parents actually volunteer their children to get taken by some kind of strange program? No. See, that's something entirely separate. Any kid whose parents volunteer them get benefits from the program. They all come back after a short time. No kidnapping or house burning, but not the ones who are reassigned involuntarily. Those ones don't even get a checkbox or paper. What kind of benefits do the volunteer families get? Some come back smarter, some don't seem that changed. I don't know. Is there any distinction between the volunteer kids and the reassigned kids? You could say it's a kind of class stratification, a kind of class warfare, really. But all, and I do mean all, of the reassigned kids are either poor, don't speak the language, or are physically or mentally challenged, but usually all of the above. Volunteer kids? They're all middle class, clean clothes, tons of friends. What is the purpose of CAD? Baker laughed sarcastically. Behavior correction? No, really. Like I said, no idea. You ever try to stop one of these reassignments? Once. Kid was fine. Little hyper. Maybe didn't speak great English, but really good at math. A smart boy. Loved teaching him. The next day, a white van pulled up out back. They told me he had a neurological risk profile incompatible with normative optimization. I didn't. And still don't know what that meant. And the van. Watched from out the window. And it was gone in under a minute. Kid wasn't even allowed to pack his things. He was just shoved in the back of the van by a bunch of white lab coats. You ever hear what happens after? No. Never saw him again. Besides, you don't ask about Tier 3. Teachers who ask questions get flagged as intervention resistant. That's a term, too, by the way. I saw it on a quarterly review. Who oversees it? BPOS, Behavioral Pathways Oversight? It's a subcommittee. They route everything through the District Reintegration Liaison and report upward to DERS. That's Department of Educational Reintegration and Surveillance. They hold quarterly reviews through CORPs, Centralized Outcome Reporting Platforms, but no one's ever been in front of one for discipline reasons. Probably because it doesn't exist. You still get kids in your class flagged for CAD? I requested immediate removal from CAD. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to know. I'm trying to save my own skin here. I have a family and I don't want them anywhere near this.
So you send them away?
What? No. I'm planning on moving, but they...
Your students, I mean.
Oh, right. No. I don't send them anywhere except to my colleagues across the hall. They disappear on their own.
Have you had any students that were volunteered by their parents for CAD?
Yeah, only one.
Any difference? Any change?
Yeah, this girl had a hard time with math in my class. Multiplication tables were tricky for her. Fractions were impossible for her to get right. And then she came back, and guess what?
What?
She's doing advanced calculus. Solving improper integrals at nine-year-olds. When she couldn't even handle fractions days before. I had trouble with those kinds of integrals during my graduate program. Now, how do you explain that?
I don't know, Michael. I don't know.
But get this. Some of my colleagues say that the volunteer kids come back worse. So I guess it just depends, but still, I have no idea what CAD actually does to the kids.
There was a rustling on the tape. Suddenly.
Hey, what's that?
Baker's voice.
Nothing. Hey, is that a wire under your shirt? Are you recording me, you son of a bitch?
Commotion and shouting consumed the tape before it abruptly ended. Julie felt numb, didn't move. She stared at the tape on her kitchen table, smoke curling from her untouched cigarette in the ashtray. It had burned halfway down and collapsed into itself. She had taken a single drag. She leaned forward slowly, rewound the tape part way, taking note of the counter rolling back the number she had just jotted down, and pressed play again.
Neurological risk profile incompatible with normative optimization.
She stopped it. That was the phrase. Julie pulled Henry's folder from the edge of the table and flipped to a page she'd underlined days earlier. The corrective outcomes memorandum. She ran her fingers over the line. All transfers must be vetted using standardized optimum alignment protocols, OAPs, and behavioral eligibility indicators, BEIs, in accordance with Section 19 of the Corrective Outcomes Memorandum, COM-1948. The Truman Administration. Same year Baker said the program was founded. She turned to Form 6B again, studying the boxes, the acronyms, the blank fields where a parent's signature should be. No signature line, no teacher field, just Tier 1 support exhausted, Tier 2 conditional deferred, Tier 3 reassignment authorized, Tier 4 expedient correction. Expedient correction. She circled it in thick ink, then again, harder. Her knuckles blanched as the pen tore through the paper. She grabbed her notebook out of frustration, now looking like paranoid drawings from Charles Manson. And wrote, Tier 4 equals after removal, where kids vanish. No readmittance above Tier 3 for the reassigned, but there is for volunteers. Why? What differences are there between the programs? What does expedient correction mean? Medical? Institutional? Fatal? She turned back to the initials page. Her eyes scanned the Leary entries again. CM, Leary V. Note, histrionic? Executive dysfunction? A.E. Leary. V. Note. Manic tendencies. Hyperactive? D.P. Leary. R. Note. ESL. Julie drew a line under each. Then she flipped to the Q4 budget allocation memo. Her eyes skimmed to the relevant clause. Funds allocated via Title I Enrichment Adjustment, Subsection E, may be conditionally redirected to Tier 3 Advancement Frameworks. She circled redirected and wrote next to it. Redirected equaled laundered, maybe? Bypasses local budget. No visibility. Leary gets the money, but not the school. At least, not officially. Not the teachers. Where does it go? Facilities? Some kind of research. Not on district charters, so it doesn't officially exist. Plausible deniability. She added a final note. Voluntary versus reassignment. V equals voluntary equals benefits. R equals reassignment equal gone. Why lump them together? For optics or some other reason? Julie stared at the list again. What was she missing? CM, Leary, AE, Leary, DP, Leary. Her eyes locked on the last one. DP. Then she knew. An epiphany. She bounded up from the counter and clutched the sides of her head with her hands. Holy crap! She thought back to the boy in the classroom, the way he sat, cross-legged on the floor. DP, David, the way the teacher had snapped at him, had made him cry. D could stand for David. She immediately cooled. Didn't prove anything. Could have been Daniel, Dylan, Derek. Yet, he went to Leary, and he was in that room, and he was crying. Something inside Julie told her it was him. She scribbled on her notepad. DP Leary. David sent away as Tier 4? No return protocols and CAD documents. No mention of readmittance. She flipped through Henry's notes again. Looked for any mention of Tier 4 returnees. Nothing. No protocol, no paperwork. Just reassignments. So what was David doing back? Because DP was listed as reassigned, not volunteered. And Baker had said no one who was reassigned came back. Or maybe he hadn't gone yet. Maybe his reassignment was imminent. Julie stopped herself. Maybe DP wasn't even David and she was spiraling over the wrong child. But she didn't think so. Julie underlined the boy's initials again. She didn't know for sure. But she had a name and a face. And that's the end of this part. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you're enjoying this series so far. Let me know what your thoughts are in the comments below, whether you're on YouTube or Spotify or whatever the case may be. I appreciate you for listening. Thank you for being here. A huge shout out for you for being here. Thank you for listening. We'll see you later.